You're listening to Seated to Serve with business leader and community activist Jeff Bickerstaff, connecting the dots between community, business, and family. Now, here's your host, Jeff Bickerstaff.
Well, my guest today is Donna Merrill. She is the president of Business Untangled Incorporated. Donna, I love that name.
Thank you. I do too.
We are glad you're here today. Donna, tell us a little bit about your business. I'm fascinated by that name, like I said. So what? How did we get that name?
Well, in my experience, I find that people really in business, they don't like that legalese and all that stuff, and they really can get it tangled up. And all that red tape, it's just a mess. So we literally untangle it by really making it something that Homer Simpson could relate to and understand and get rid of that legalese and just basic ABC. It's almost like going to kindergarten, and it really helps people save, to be honest, thousands or tens of thousands of dollars, depending on their situation. It's always relative.
Well, I have to admit, if you make it to where Homer Simpson can understand it, then you're doing a great job.
Yeah, that's kind of my expertise, is really.
No, yeah,
step,
I could tell.
Step ABC, 1, 2, 3, that's it, yeah.
Well, you know, when I was looking over your website and some of your marketing materials and things like that, I was fascinated by what you have on your website, because you do a good job in leading people, I think, to where you want them to go, depending on why they're visiting your website to begin with.
Yeah,
and I can't think of it off the top of my head, but there's one thing on your main page. I think it says something like learn more or something. And, you know, that's a great tool, because when I went there, I'm like, of course, I was going to interview you, so I definitely wanted to learn more. But I probably would have wanted to learn more anyway, you know, based on what your website says. So I think you did a great job on that.
Thank you.
And then, of course, you click the button, and it's a whole another page on information and things like that. And then, of course, how you can be contacted, and you did a great job on that. Now, one of the things I saw on your website, and I wanted to talk to you about on the show, was the power, if you will, of home-based businesses. You know, when most people think of businesses, you know, let's Coca-Cola, IBM, and maybe not even that big of a corporation, but even, you know, your local corporations, not that Kroger's local, but they're in Cincinnati, but you know, they're in smaller communities, and you think about, hey, well, they've got this big old structure, and they've been around a long time and all that. But when you go down a neighborhood, there are probably way more home businesses in that neighborhood than you may think. Am I right on that?
Absolutely. And it's coming more and more prevalent. But I will tell you that people, because I'm a business strategist, sometimes think I'm working with Kroger's and stuff like that. And I've worked with, you know, a lot of companies that are like that. But my passion is that home-based business person who just has their dream of wanting to have that business. And it's amazing how sometimes we start with a little seed of something, and it just grows into something that they never dreamed it would be. And that's what I love to do, is take it to that level and just really work with them that way, help them understand the legalities of all that legalese that they have to do and they just don't want to do.
Yeah, boy, you hit that on the head. Have to do.
Yeah.
You know, the IRS is probably the ultimate big brother, I would guess. You know.
Yeah, you just have to learn to work with them and thing. They're people doing their job just like you and I are, you know, and things. But there are definite ways. And a lot of it's posturing and vocabulary. And what I really find is that people don't, what they think it needs to be is not what it needs to be. And if they really could get it to what it needs to be, it's so much easier.
Well, no kidding. I think that's true of almost anything.
Yeah. And that's what I teach them, is, okay, you know, we deal with QuickBooks and stuff like that. I have a Keep It Simple Silly program where we just do a few pieces of it. If they have to learn the whole thing, they go, do you want me to go take a course on QuickBooks? Well, you can do that and it's helpful, but you're going to come back and go, I don't know how to start it with my business,
right,
and what to do. And that's one of the things that we work with and show them, because most of them only need to know a few pieces of it to make it really work well for their business. And the same thing with the tax laws and the business structures and things.
You are not what you eat. You are what you absorb. Air, water, and nutrients are vital to your health. Today's lifestyles are bombarded with electromagnetic frequencies. Absorbing these frequencies are linked to brain fog, to illness and diseases, down to the cellular level. I am Brenda Wakefield. Go to betterhealthbrenda.com to discover how you can protect your family, work and living spaces, your mind and your body without disconnecting from your wireless lifestyle. BetterHealthBrenda.com. BetterHealthBrenda.com.
Well, and you bring up a good point, because as a small business owner myself, and of course you're one as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, when you first start, you want to get started. You know, whether it's like me, you know, I have insurance products that people buy. There's a ton of different small businesses out there. Most of them are product based, but some are service based. Mm-hmm. You've probably been working. A lot of times a small business owner may start out by having worked for a bigger company, and you know they're doing all these great things, making that company a profit. And well, hey, I can keep it all myself, so to speak, you know, and go start my own business, doing the same thing maybe they've done for 20 years. Ironically, in insuring those businesses, we see a lot of that. We see a lot of startups that come into our office that need general liability or something like that. And when I get to know them more and more, it's, oh, well, I worked for so-and-so for 20 years, and, you know, and now I want to do it on my own, yeah. You know. And so it's for me as a small business owner, I love helping those people because they're just like me.
Yes.
You know, they want to live the American dream. And now, having said that, you know, there's so many things, though, and I realized this when I first got started, is, man, that's why I'm wanted to have you on the show. There's so many things that you gotta watch out for, you know, because I think most business owners that start, their passion is for whatever they want to do, and they don't want to worry about that. They know it's out there, but they just, I just want to sell, you know, or I just want to do this, I want to market or whatever. But we can't do that. We can't ignore that as business owners. So the first thing I wanted to talk to you about is, you know, we mentioned home-based businesses before. So what are some advantages, if your industry you're in allows that, what are some of the advantages by starting out as a home-based business as opposed to going and signing a 10-year lease on a space?
One is overhead. That's obvious. And today's day and age, you don't have to have that overhead to get started. And I always recommend to keep it as low as possible, because why pay somebody else's bills? We're not really working to pay someone else's bills, ultimately. But just having a home-based business, you know, you got a husband that's going to work at, you know, IBM or something, wherever company he's get. He brings a W-2 job home, and he's got a wife over here that wants to stay home with the kids, but she needs to do something because she's, you know, she's got some time on her hands in between kids' duties and school things and stuff. If she has a home-based business, they can write off so many things and offset his income with taxes, and the taxes lowered. The average family, just getting started in a home-based business of some sort, can save $300 to $700 a month in taxes just by trying it. And that's wow. Very conservative, to be honest.
Yeah, I was going to say, that sounds like you're just getting started.
That's a very conservative number. But what happens is people I find a lot of them after, you know, time, there's so many different things that they're not aware of. They don't realize they can employ their children, their own children between the ages of 7 and 17, and pay them up to now with the new tax laws from 2018, it is $12,000 per child. Now, obviously, a 7-year-old's probably not going to warrant that.
Right.
But there's ways of handling that money, because you're their parent and you're their guardian, so you have discretion over how they're going to spend that money. They can pay for their ballet lessons with tax-free dollars. I mean, really, their karate, their sports, you know, whatever. And you just, I educate people on how they can do that so that it works. You do have certain compliance issues that are not hard, but they must be adhered to. And if you mess that up, you're in trouble.
Yeah, yes, and you're here to keep us out of trouble.
Absolutely.
Trusted roofing and renovation experts, Bacon Roofing for all your interior and exterior renovations throughout DFW. BaconRoofing.com. Call 972-772-1999 today.
But I had to chuckle on the child ages where they could work, because you always, you know, when I was growing up, you know, child labor laws, you know, I couldn't get my job, my first job, until I was 16 years old. And but I just wanted you to touch on that a little bit more, because I think a lot of people that hear that probably think that sounds crazy.
Well, if I hire your kids, I'm going to be in trouble with child labor laws.
True, yeah.
But if I hire my own kids, no. Okay. There's no child labor
laws. And they can
laws.
Start as early as 7?
Yeah, and they can't be just like washing the car or doing, you know, unless that's part of their
chores.
Business, they can't just be doing their chores. Exactly. But the thing is, there is tax law that backs up the age of 7, and it has to be appropriate. What are they doing? I've, you know, my daughter started, this was a number of years back. She's 27 now, but she started working in my business and teaching my staff PowerPoint at the time, which now most people know PowerPoint. They didn't back then. And, you know, we won't talk about, you know, back then.
Right. But, back then, relative.
Yeah. But it's just amazing. And then what happens with these kids, they start doing this. And like my daughter, when she started working, she went to work at the local entertainment center. And all her friends got one raise. She got a dollar more because she had so much work experience. Oh, you wow. know, I mean, yeah. we did all kinds of different duties. And it's amazing. It needs to be appropriate to what the child can do. But even my son, when he started doing it, he put it on his scholarships and stuff. And it helped him get more scholarship recognition.
Could it be as easy as someone answering your phone?
Absolutely.
Okay.
They can sit there and do their homework. How many receptionists do you walk in and are doing some other reading a book or a magazine while they're just there to answer the phone?
Yes, I've had that challenge before. Yeah. We won't go there today.
But there's ways of making it. You want to make it legitimate, bona fide employment and make them feel that they're responsible for it. And there's ways of shifting the monies around, too. And another step is also sometimes if you have like an S corp, maybe this sole proprietor, you can't employ them in your S corp, but you might have to, maybe they have a service center of some sort that could do it. And you set them up in a home-based business to have that, and you can combine those different entities at times too.
But I think one of the key words you used there was legitimate.
Absolutely.
You know, certainly as far as IRS is concerned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it would be looked at, but it can be. In fact, I years and years back, I did an audit, and the lady was going on talking to me. She goes, "Yeah, look what they did." She says, they employed their kids, you know, and it's that. And I said, "Yeah, but, you know, according to Publication 15, you know, that's legitimate. I always thought so. Am I wrong?" And she goes, "Oh, no, you can do that. But look how they did it." Mm. That was the key. They didn't do it properly, and it looked like a sham.
And that's what got them in trouble.
That's what got them in trouble. Yeah. It wasn't that they employed their kids. It was the way that they handled the paperwork and stuff. And again, it's not hard. It just has to be done right. And I really enjoy showing people this because they can do all kinds of things that they didn't realize was possible. So.
Well, when we come back from our break, I wanted to talk to you about something you just touched on was the structure of your business because, you know, we've kind of focused on location, if you will, but I want to get into a small business owner and the challenges they have and what type of structure they should have for their business. We're talking to Donna Merrill, and we're going to be back after we pay our bills with our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Parting with a home that you've loved, growing into the next phase of your life, trust the team at Jeannie Martin Real Estate to handle the details of your situation with tender, loving care. The Martin team is your home connection, North Central Texas. MARTEN team.com. Go to martenteam.com today.
And we're back. We're talking to Donna Merrill today. She is the president of Business Untangled Incorporated. And, you know, it's funny, Donna, before we started, we were kind of joking about making sure we called your business name properly, not an LLC, but incorporated. And that's a good segue from what we're going to talk about now, is because there is a very important difference between what type of business structure you have. And so, you know, if you don't mind, let's kind of go through the basics of it. You know, how can you structure your business, and what's the most advantageous way to do that?
Well, it depends a little bit on where you're at in your business and what income's there. There's, you know, talking, of course, you need to be a sole proprietor. You can be a partnership. You can be a C corp or an S corp. Those are the basic ones there. And I work with a lot of people, and we combine those sometimes because there's pros and cons in each one of those. But the more sophisticated a person's tax situation is, they may need a combination of those. But that person that's just starting, depends that, you know, some of them need that identity of an incorporation and that. But the thing is, everybody goes to LLCs and stuff, and they're not really my favorite because I see so many of them handled wrong and causing major, major tax problems. One guy was doing stuff with his LLC, and he was in a 47% tax bracket because he was handling it wrong. And we turned around and we started saving him $36,000 a year by the time we were done with that. So they can be handled wrong. LLCs can be taxed as a sole proprietorship. They can be taxed as a partnership. They can be taxed as a C corp or an S corp. But what's right for the situation? And that's what we look at. Most business just getting started don't need that. I had to talk to a lady this week. She went and got an LLC, and she knew she wanted to be an S corp, which in her case was premature. actually. I mean, if you're making a lot more money in your business, that might be a good structure for you. But her, she went and spent all this money, and she hasn't even gotten out of the
barn yet.
Yeah, there you go, out of the barn yet. She was just hadn't done anything, hadn't even started her business yet and hadn't launched, and there was no reason in her case. Sometimes you pick a structure because of the liabilities of it, which comes also with your insurance, because a lot of your insurance you can turn around and use it instead of having that entity, or sometimes you need both, you know, the insurance.
Right, and a lot of times I see where you do have to have both.
Yeah.
And I know one of the things, too, just because I hear this all the time, especially being in insurance, that with LLCs, if it's not, like you said, if it's not structured properly, you could still be subject to self-employment tax, and to where I think a lot of people I run into think, oh, well, I'm an LLC, so I don't have to worry about that anymore.
Yeah.
But that's not necessarily true.
Yeah. There's different things, and LLCs just really misconstrued. I see about 70% of them wrong for what the circumstances are.
Ooh, that's
for
a high number.
That is a very high number. So,
but that's what you're here for, to help us with that.
Yeah, but we help them, and they try to work with that. So it just depends on what is. And to be honest, your attorney doesn't always tell you, because they're not the tax person.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. And your CPA or tax person hopefully will be able to guide you on that. But, you know, it depends on where you're at in your business and what's going on with it, right. But I recommend getting some professional direction.
Well, we're going to talk about that. You know, the one thing I was going to say, though, is the insurance companies, if you're an insurance agent and you're appointed with, like I am with several companies, you know, one of the things they ingrained in your head from the very beginning is you need to memorize this statement. I'm not a tax. I do not give tax advice.
Yeah,
because it's just a different thing. And you touched on that just a second ago. So you talked about the importance of tax professionals. So, but I don't think a lot of people understand what to expect from their CPA. Well, number one, we hope they have one.
Yeah.
But let's assume they have one. What do they need to expect? I think it's all over the board as far as what.
When people are starting their business, they frequently, you know, they'll seek they can do their taxes themselves or something. And in real simplistic situations can. But once you start your business, I don't recommend it, because there's so many things that you don't know. CPAs do not, they're not, they don't do what people think they're doing. They have this vision that they're doing all these things. They've got to accumulate the information from you. And you're not a tax professional, okay? They're going to, you know, better CPAs are going to ask you for stuff that they think you're missing, but they don't know that you had this situation over here in your life that could be very tax deductible, you know, and they don't have a clue. So how are they going to make it, you know, take advantage of that? And there's so many things that are missed. But there's a difference also between CPAs and enrolled agents. CPAs, it's actually an accounting degree. And it's not, so that's their expertise. Some people that have that accounting degree are specialized in tax. So, you know, there's people that don't have a clue about they're doing their taxes for the most part. I won't say they don't have a clue. They have a clue. But I really respect a CPA. And I think every business has to have some kind of professional guidance. But enrolled agent is a very good one. It's a tax degree that's given by the IRS also. And those people have a really hard exam also to prove their ability, but it's all about tax. So that's good.
The enrolled agent, by my own ignorance, I've never heard of that.
Yeah.
So are you saying that it's an either-or thing, or
there's enrolled agents, or they specialize in tax, and it's a degree it's the only degree that's actually issued by the IRS for doing it, and so anyway, that's where some people go. But there's also just a tax preparer, because I'm not a CPA or an enrolled agent, to be honest, but I've just worked with them so much, and that's where my expertise is. It's in business management, and that's what my degrees are in. And so, you know, it depends on the person itself, but you need somebody who's doing it all the time, who's up to date on the laws, and somebody who's not really, you know, just going to tell you, bring it all in and, you know, that's okay. You know, they're going to put it together into a tax return. You need to learn enough about it yourself. And this is where Business Untangled comes in. We teach you how to, what you need to give that CPA, and in what posture, and maybe a few different ways of changing your life. You don't want to change it totally, but just a little bit. If you could live it more tax deductible, you could do this, and it's all tax deductible, where if you do that, no deductions, and you pay the tax.
Well, that's a great point. That's why I'm glad you came on the show, because I think it's that what I would call that hidden part you just talked about, is that hey, well, what do we need to be giving our CPAs? And also, too, I think, and I probably fall into this trap, too, is that I have unrealistic expectations for my CPA. Because, like you said, I just think about what I give my CPA, and it's just like, here. You know,
exactly.
It's just documents. It's just, yeah. You know, facts, if you will. And but it sounds like,
but there's so many things that are missed because of that.
Yeah.
So many things. And I see it over and over again when you start getting in a little person's life. But if the client of mine that actually sits and works it through, and then we give it to the CPA or the enrolled agent to do, it's just such a huge difference. I'm talking frequently tens of thousands of dollars, depending on their situation.
Sure,
obviously,
yeah.
You know, so it's proportionate, though, you
right.
know. And most of my clients have, you know, they've got enough deductions and stuff that they don't even know of them. And so, and then there's ways of living your life a little differently, planning a strategy that's legal that you can make it more deductible, like employing your kids, or, you know, sometimes you start and, you know, like somebody else was talking about that their kids could do advertising stuff and the social media stuff. How many kids are fantastic on that stuff? Well,
yeah,
you could start them in a little social media business and hire them in your other business and do that. And also they can also pick up some other business along the way too. So
what makes a trade show event an experience people remember? Attendees show up for the attractor factor. And if you don't have it, they'll walk away and forget you were there. Work with the experienced team of professionals at the Trade Group to maximize your marketing dollar in creative, impressive ways that keep them coming back for more. The Trade Group offers a full range of products and services that meet new budgets with TLC and give experienced exhibitors polish that pays off time and time again. Have an awesome event every time. Set up your consultation today at TradeGroup.com. Experiential marketing delivers exceptional attendee participation rates and keeps you top of mind when it's time to buy. Stop by the Carrollton, Texas showroom and discover the possibilities. Trust the Trade Group, TradeGroup.com, for events that draw a crowd. That's TradeGroup.com.
No, that's great advice. And I guess that leads me to the other question I was going to ask you was, again, like I said in the very beginning, as a small business owner myself, there's so many things coming at me. But, you know, where should I, or not just me, obviously, but any small business owner, regardless of whatever structure you're at, what do we need to think about more, whether it's giving information to our CPA or just doing our business a different way to where we can take advantage of what you're saying, those deductions that are kind of out there that we don't know about.
Yeah. Unfortunately, there's not a whole lot of people that do what I do, even in
That's
the United
you,
States.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know a few of them that have nobody does exactly what I do in that direction, but that's what our whole focus is on there. But there's some people that do educate, and there's people that can educate themselves, like, you know, but sometimes that can be a problem too. So you have to kind of combine, and it's really hard for the business owner to know, but you need to understand all of those simple things that can be deducted and look at out of the box and stuff and see what it is. Because is it a business expense, or how can it be a business expense that could be? And it has to be a legitimately ordinary and necessarily used in your business. You know, it's not like, you know, you can go to pick up something that's just have the whole top floor of a New York high rise rented out for dinner to impress your in-laws or for your wedding or something yeah. like that and write it off. But if you are in a business that would, you know, see a prince or somebody like that, it might be appropriate. So it has to be appropriate for your business and things like that.
Well, it's funny you say that, because I think the one thing that most small business owners think about as far as write-offs and deductions is mileage. You know, and as you probably are well aware, there's apps out there for that and, mm-hmm. and all that. But, yeah, I'm assuming if you could just touch on that aspect of things.
Sure.
It's the same concept. It has to be legitimate. And, you know, is there a right or wrong way to do that?
Yeah, everybody needs a style that's going to set them up for success, because they can forget that mileage is one of the way overlooked deductions that are so easy to do, and they need to keep track of it. We work with a mileage tracker that was actually done by a tax professional, and we offer that through Business Untangled also, and that helps because you can make that a lot easier. But even you just writing it down and stuff. But sometimes some of those things are actually causing you to cheat yourself. You know, people go, oh, you're cheating on your taxes. Yeah, yeah. You're cheating yourself by not writing these down and that. There's different GPSs and things like that. But what you need to know is, I watch people who don't think that was deductible in the first place. I think that's the biggest danger zone rather than even documenting it. Because, you know, coming over here today, well, that would be deductible for me because that's a business thing.
That's
but some people don't look at that. You know, they go to, you know, I don't go anywhere. You know, if they're home office all the time, yeah, they probably didn't go too far, but they may go to the office supply store. They go different places. And just because you go over to Aunt Harriet's house to see her and, that's not a business expense, but you stopped along the way. So how far was, and you know, there's just different ways of looking at it and stuff. Cause you can change some of these things and make it more deductible that direction. And that's what I teach too, is different ways of looking at your mileage so that it is more deductible.
Well, Donna, I can tell we just scratched the surface on how you can untangle your business. Oh, yeah. It goes by quick, doesn't it?
Yes.
Goes by quick. Well, Donna, before we let you go, how can people get a hold of you and take advantage of what you have to offer?
The best way is to go to businessuntangled.com, and we have everything coming out there. We're going to have some really neat things coming in 2020. We're getting some things ready to launch that are going to help people on all different levels and different tools and resources as well. Not everybody's ready for a coach and that to help them through that, or you know, to work on a monthly basis with us, which is available too. We can really change your life if you're that candidate that qualifies for it. But there's all different tools, free things and stuff there. So go there. It also has all our contact information, or you can call me at 469-458-0447.
So. Great, Don. And in the spirit of what doctors say, you're accepting new clients.
Yes.
Okay. Depends.
Yeah. Well, right now I've got a limited amount for the private work, but
well, right.
I do have an opening at the moment. So, yeah.
Well, I did see a form on your website, so it doesn't hurt to fill that out regardless, right?
Yeah. Well, those private clients, I want to make sure that they are going to get the best value out of what they get, because not everybody needs the big Lamborghini to get there. They need, you know, a town car, or, you know, the Volkswagen might not help them either. So I want to help them wherever they're at and whatever level, whether the business is just getting started or if they're a seasoned business entrepreneur. I'd like to be able to help them whenever we can.
Well, Donna, thanks so much for being on the show today, and look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you, Jeff.
If you or your business is interested in being a guest or advertising on the Seed of the Serve show, please call 972-771-4992, or you can email me at jeff@bickerstaffinsurance.com. That's jeff@bickerstaffins.com. That's it for this episode of Seed of the Serve. We're connecting the dots between business, community, and family. Have a great day, everyone.
You've been listening to Seated to Serve with Jeff Bickerstaff. To be a guest on Seated to Serve or to advertise your business, contact 972-771-4992. Seated to Serve is produced by Offbeat Business Media for the OBBM Network and affiliates, and is available at offbeatbusinessmedia.com. Listen to Seated to Serve each Tuesday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. on OBBM Radio and the OBBM Network podcast, also available on Google Play, iTunes, and your Offbeat Business app. Contact 972-771-4992 for guest and sponsor information today.